Father, we ask you to speak to us now through that wonderful passage from Matthew 18 about forgiveness, that we may hear what you're saying to us individually and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think of people who've offended you or hurt you or maltreated you. Maybe you can think of quite a lot, I don't know. I can. Maybe not so many. But it's interesting, who comes to mind when you think of those people who have done those things? They've said those things, they've treated you unjustly, whatever it may have been, they've upset you in one way or another. That's the first question, that's the easy one. The second one is a little bit more difficult. What do you feel towards them? Is there anyone who comes to mind, maybe more than one, who you actually feel quite negative towards? I'm not talking about you disapprove of what they did. Of course, that's if they did something wrong, you disapprove, that's fine. But I wonder if you feel really sort of negative towards any person or any people. And they come to mind now because I've raised the issue in that question. And so the third question is, have you forgiven them? And we need to understand that, what it means, and to obey the Lord. So I'm going to ask you three more questions. This is a very questionable sermon this morning. So the first question is, when should we forgive? And I quote from passage in Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? He was obviously in a very holy mood, going to forgive him seven times. And of course, the figure seven, as you know, often means completeness in Hebrew thinking. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. In fact, the translation could be 70 times seven. It's not quite clear what figure Jesus used. So when should we forgive? We have to forgive every offence, even from multiple offenders, people who've offended us on numerous occasions. We have to forgive. Don't take literally, the 70 and the 7 and the 70 times 7 and so on. That is just, you need to keep doing it. Not just once, not just seven times, but many times. And so the Lord calls us to forgive and to maintain a forgiving attitude towards those who've offended us, hurt us, treated us unjustly. And there is no exception. How about that for a challenge on a pleasant Sunday morning? But it is a huge challenge. And it's very, very important. Now, let's be clear, it doesn't mean you have to approve of what they did. You might still, and you will still, feel they shouldn't have said that, they shouldn't have done that, what they did was unjust, I didn't deserve it, and they were hurtful, etc., etc., etc. It doesn't mean we have to approve of what they did, nor does it mean they won't face the consequences of what they did. Those of you who've had children, can you remember this problem? When the little horrors were really bad, and of course you forgave them, but they were still punished, weren't they? And rightly so, because they needed to learn, and adults do as well, that bad behaviour has consequences. So the consequences may remain the same, the discipline of the child, or even of the adult for that matter, might remain the same. That's acceptable, that's nothing to do with unforgiveness, although it can be done in an unforgiving way, in which case that is wrong. So we're not talking about you've got to approve of what that person said or what that person did to you. That would be ridiculous. Nor are we saying that they don't face the consequences of what they've done. So if someone broke into your house and stole a lot of money and they finish up in prison, but you can still forgive them. But the consequences still happen. But there must be no resentment. Resentment is like a spiritual and moral cancer. And it's a dreadful thing. We must avoid resentment as much as we can. I'm not talking to you as someone who is above resentment. I know what it feels like, you know. Sometimes joke about the ministry of the laying on of hands, and you really want to lay hands on people. Metaphorically, you'd probably not do it physically. Yes, we can feel resentment, and we all can. It's a temptation. The temptation is not sin. Giving way to it is sin. And resentment is an own goal. It's very unhealthy. If you're resenting someone, then it's like a cancer that's eating away at you spiritually and emotionally. So it's an own goal. But it also allows the offender to dominate you. If someone's really offended you, if someone's really hurt you, and you're going around thinking, you know, then you're actually letting them dominate you. Thoughts of them dominate you. And it's an own goal. And so resentment is stupid, really, but I'm afraid it doesn't seem like it's stupid. It seems like it's very natural. But there are more important things to be said. So the other point I'd make at this stage is that we may need to repeat the forgiveness. You know, someone's hurt you really badly, and you forgive them, and then you find tomorrow the feelings have come back again. So you have to forgive them again. And it may happen, if it's something really serious, several times. You know, we in our time, we've experienced some really bad treatment over the years, and some real injustice, and some really bad things. And we've had to learn this lesson. And it is a sort of repeating lesson. None of us is above resentment. And if we think we are, watch out, because it'll probably catch you out. So when should we forgive? All the time is the answer to that. Secondly, whom should we forgive? And you've probably guessed it, everyone. There is no one that we should exclude from our forgiveness. Think of the person who's hurt you most and or treated you with the most injustice. God says you must forgive them. And he says that to me with some of the things that have happened. I can think of times years ago when I could have taken legal action and probably, you know, would have won. But what's the point? We still have to forgive what has happened to us. So when should we forgive? Always. Whom should we forgive? Very briefly, I've been on that. Everyone. But thirdly and finally, why should we forgive? Now, I mentioned the important secondary reasons. It's unhealthy. It's like a spiritual cancer. It allows the offender to dominate you, dominate your thinking, dominate your feeling, which is silly, isn't it? That's an own goal. But there's a much more important reason. And here Jesus tells a quite striking, quite alarming at times, story about the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by his master and then went out and did the opposite to a fellow servant who owed him only a relatively small amount. And it says at the end, Jesus did sometimes use some quite alarming pictures in his parables. In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Wow, that comes over rather low, doesn't it? Well, Jesus is not literally talking about torture, of course. But he is saying that God will deal with us firmly, severely, if we don't forgive. It's as simple as that. And he puts it in that striking way in that parable. And so God, and we need to hear this, God will not forgive us if we don't forgive others. So there's not a lot of point to send a confession, is there, if we are unforgiving to other people. In the Lord's Prayer we say, forgive as we're forgiven. forgive us as we forgive. And we need to take this matter seriously. And we can. We might feel that we have a huge challenge to forgive so-and-so who was so hurtful, so bitter and twisted, so unjust, so wrong. But believe you me, if you decide you're going to do it, the Lord will enable you to do it, actually, relatively easily. That's my experience. And so, what is the practical approach? I'll tell you what I've done. I love writing things down. It clarifies my brain. And I have a file on my computer of people I have forgiven. And the reason why I have that is because I'll forget I've forgiven them if I don't have a list on the computer. And I don't want to have people I've not forgiven because I've just forgotten about them. I'm sure the Lord would forgive me for that, but I don't want to. And so I have a list of people I've forgiven. And I updated it this week. And I'm not, you know, I'm talking about people that may have been years ago, not necessarily, you know, now, that I realised what I'd done is I'd written the list in 2009 and it was a bit out of date. And so I've written down the names of these people and I'll keep it for reference because I don't want to think, hang on, did I actually express forgiveness to that person? I want to know that I did. And what I've done, and I did it, was it yesterday, I think it was, when I did this, I actually used the name, let me use the name John, just for the sake of it. And I said, John, I forgive you in Jesus' name. It was all on my own, no one else heard it. But I said it with conviction. John, I forgive you in Jesus' name. And as I said earlier, we may need to repeat that. What I've found with some of the more important things is that the feelings will come back. That's quite good. It comes back at 5 o'clock in the morning. Have you found that? That's a really vulnerable time when everything seems rather negative. Even the prospect of getting up is worrying. And I will say, so-and-so, I forgive you. And so I'm reaffirming that forgiveness. And you know, it makes me feel much better myself. So from a sort of selfish point of view, it's a good thing to do anyway. I feel better. But that's very unimportant. The important thing is that we are forgiving other people. So I hope you're all going to go home now, and if you haven't already done it, write your list of people that you may already have forgiven, of course. Or people, more important, people you may not have forgiven. So let's be practical about it. Let's not be all pious and holy about it, you know, sort of, it's all very vague. Let's be really practical. Have your list and say out loud, so-and-so, I forgive you. And if it comes back again, you know, tomorrow, and the feelings of resentment start to revive, say it again, so-and-so, I forgive you. So let us be those who follow what Jesus so clearly taught. It's so important. And the main reason why it's so important is because God is offended if we don't forgive. And he won't forgive us. We read that story, that parable, and it's terrible, isn't it? That man could do something so pig selfish, having been forgiven by his master for ten thousand bags of gold. He then goes out and finds a fellow servant who owed him a few hundred silver coins, and treated him really badly. How pig selfish can you be? Well, we can if we're not careful. Obviously, he's putting it in a very graphic, theatrical way. Of course he is. But we can do that sort of thing. And God says don't. And it could just be that amongst us this morning, there's someone who's been, as it were, hanging on to resentment. I have no idea if this is true. But it could be that one of you has been hanging on to resentment that's been hindering you for years. Do you know you can get rid of that this morning? You can actually express forgiveness to that person or those people. And you can begin to feel the freedom. But more important, you can begin to rejoice in the forgiveness of God for the things that you've done wrong, as I rejoice in his forgiveness for the things I've done wrong. So, when should we forgive? Always. Whom should we forgive? Everyone, without exception. Why should we forgive? Mainly because God won't forgive us if we don't forgive others. Father, we do thank you for this very familiar story. The trouble is, it's very familiar to us in theory, but sometimes it's not very familiar in practice. Lord, over our lives we've sometimes been very bitterly hurt, perhaps treated dreadfully sometimes, or on the other hand it may just be little things, a thing a neighbour has said or something like that. But Lord, we don't want to disobey you. You are so forgiving to us. We have offended you thousands and thousands and thousands of times, Lord, by the way we've failed in thought, word and deed. But you are always forgiving. But Lord, you challenge us to forgive, because if we have resentment in our hearts, then it prevents you from forgiving us. So Lord, do forgive us if we've held on to resentment. And help us to express real forgiveness. Lord, it may be a little bit through gritted teeth to begin with, but help us to triumph over it until we actually can feel a positive attitude towards the person. Not that we approve what they said or did, not that they necessarily don't face the consequences of what they did, but we actually have a forgiving attitude towards them. Help us to be forgivers, Lord, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.